Almighty God, I come to you this morning as your servant, asking that the words I speak this morning would not be mine, but they would be yours. Help us this morning, O God, that as we hear your message for us, after we say, ouch, give us the strength to do what you require of us, to be fair, to be merciful, and to continue to walk humbly with you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so the first thing I'm going to do is an advertisement. Pastor friend of mine sent this to me, so I'm going to read it to you as he sent it. The refugee crisis in Europe. This week, Jesus calls us to clearly give what we have to those who have less. Over the past several months, the world has witnessed what many are calling the largest humanitarian crisis Europe has ever seen, even since World War II. People from Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan are walking hundreds of miles, risking their lives to cross borders or to take dangerous plastic boats across rough waters to get to Greece. Hundreds of people have died and families are left broken. Now, did you all listen to that paragraph really close? I mean, this is something that I think when we're in our country, even those of us that are having rough and challenging times are not facing anything like these folks are facing. And so, at minimum, we ought to be praying for folks. The needs of these people are immediate, as many of them are arriving in Europe with only what they could carry or even just the clothes on their back. As they travel away from danger, these refugees are embarking on the long journey of rebuilding their lives. Aid is being offered in several locations by a group called Samaritan's Purse. Please visit their website to learn more and to find out how you can help, and it's really easy to get there. It's www.samaritanpurse.org. And there's also a link to reading an article on the voyage to a second life. And this pastor says, thank you, and if do what we can. And this is something that really tones in with today's service as well, or today's message as well.
Yeah, I'll get that. Yeah, Frankie and I have done the Samaritan's Purse.
Yeah, it's a great organization. All right, the reading today comes from Mark 10, beginning with the 17th verse. As Jesus went out into the street, a man came running up and greeted him with great reverence and said, good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus said, why are you calling me good? No one is good, only God. You know the commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Honor your father and your mother. And the man said, well, teacher, I have done all of those from my youth. I have kept them all. And Jesus looked at him hard in the eye, and he loved him. And he said, there's one thing left. Go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth then will be heavenly wealth. And then come and follow me. Now the man's face clouded over. This was the last thing that he expected to hear, and he walked off with a heavy heart. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and was not about to let go. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, do you have any idea how different it is for people who have it all to enter God's kingdom? The disciples couldn't believe what they were hearing. And Jesus kept on. You can't imagine how difficult. I'd say it's easier for a camel to go through the needle of an eye than it is for the rich to get into God's kingdom. Now this set the disciples back on their heels. Then who has any chance at all? And Jesus was blunt. No chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself. Every chance in the world if you let God do it. But now Peter come up with a different angle. Of course he did. Amen? Of course he did. We have left everything to follow you. And Jesus said, mark my words. No one who sacrifices house, brother, sisters, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me, will lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and the land, but also in troubles. And then the bonus of eternal life. This is once again the great reversal. Many who are first will end up last, and the last first. Okay, y'all have heard this story before, right? Most of the time you hear it in church. It's what Sunday do you hear it on? You hear this passage in most churches on what particular Sunday? What's that? What do you say?
Second Sunday.
Now, well, actually, you're right, because it happens. I'll give you a hint. It happens in the fall, and it is usually the second Sunday in September. Huh? It's called Stewardship Sunday. It's when you sign your pledge cards. It's when the offering basket comes around. Not only do you put your money in it, but then you put this little card in it that says, how much are you giving to the church? There's a church here in Atlanta. When you go to join this church, you are required to answer four questions. First question, do you believe in your relationship with God? Second question, do you have a relationship with Jesus the Christ? Third question, are you willing to serve Jesus the Christ? Fourth question, what is your sources of income? I'm serious. So I got to tell you that I'm pretty sure that most of you, when you hear this, you start thinking about money. You know, because here's the rich guy. The rich guy's got it all. You know, if I hear Donald Trump talk about one more time how rich he is, and with all the people that are walking around that are homeless and starving outside of Trump Tower, I'm going to puke. He may not be taking money from special interests, but he sure as hell ain't giving it to the interests that need it the most. And yes, somebody could tell him I said that. Then he'll talk bad about me. Amen? Maybe he'll call me names.
At least somebody else will.
Amen. Anyway, so this rich guy's got it all, and he goes, now first of all, does anybody have any trouble with this story to begin with? I mean, just the question on the part of the rich guy? Because what do we know already as people of faith? It doesn't matter whether you're Jewish, it doesn't matter whether you're Christian. If you've got a relationship with God, everything's going to be okay. So this question is kind of stupid, isn't it? You know, it's what Jeremiah Wright used to talk about, being stuck on stupid. What do I got to do? And what did Jesus do? He went down, he, you know, fired off some of the Ten Commandments. And the guy sits there in front of everybody and says, hey, no problem. I'm doing that. So if that's what the deal is, okay, thanks, Jesus. And Jesus said, well, wait a minute. There's one other thing. You want for nothing. You've got a whole bunch of stuff. So you need to sell that, and then you need to take the money that you get from that sale, and you need to give it to the poor. What? Really? Really? Well, that sucks. And he walks away. Now, you know, one of the interesting things is when you get into, when you start studying scripture, there's always things in these stories that come up like this. I want to know what the hell happened to that guy. Amen? Did he come back 2 days later and go, hey, Jesus, I sold everything. Here I am. Or did he become one of those people that was yelling for Jesus to be crucified because Jesus was nuts and too hard? But let me ask you a question. Is this, to this point, about money?
It's about where you put your, it's about where you put your values at. If you're putting it at money and accumulation of money, then it is. But if you, it just depends on where you're putting your...
So you would say this is a bad reading for Stewardship Sunday?
Yeah.
Right? Wrong. It's a great reading for Stewardship Sunday, as long as you forget about the money.
Yes, because it doesn't have to do with the money.
Because this is a heart thing. This is a thing. First of all, pay attention to the way this story got set up. Because I'm telling you, Jesus is at a point in his ministry now where things are starting to wind down. If you go in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is already getting kind of finicky. Because he's been saying the same thing over and over again. Now he has one of the rich elite come to him, and they are not worried about taking care of people around them. They're just worried about them damn selves. So I think that Jesus gave a snippy answer. I think that Jesus actually looked right into the heart of this dude and said, you know what? You think you're cool, but you're not so cool. So take whatever it is that you can't let go of it, and come back and talk to me. Amen? Amen. Now, for those of you who are sitting here going, oh, okay. Thanks, Pastor. I'm glad I understand the story. That was a great sermon. Except I have one question for you. What in your life are you not willing to let go of in order to serve God with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with all your strength? Is it pursuing a relationship? Is it pursuing that perfect job? Is it not being willing to forgive somebody that has hurt you? What is it that Jesus, where if you went to him and said, what else have I got to do here? Would Jesus look at you and say, okay, do this, and then come follow me? You know, one of our favorite phrases in this church, and you're going to love this, Lance, because I bumped into this online. Another church has a saying, but it was the same as our saying. And that is, come as you are. Matter of fact, if you were here in the early days of the church, maybe we even still have it on the front of the bulletin, where it says, come as you are, you're welcome here.
Yep.
Right? Okay. Well, there was a church that had that same thing. And the pastor and his wife got to talking about it, and they said, you know what? We want to be a little more than welcoming. We want to be a little more, we want to do something more than just taking you right where you're at. So they came up with this saying that they now do at their church. Come as you are, but don't leave as you came. If you hear this story this morning, yes, come as you are. But when you listen to this story, you got to leave different. It's about attitude, folks. None of this stuff is about how much you have in your pocket. None of this stuff is how good you're at. And, of course, the disciples, they brought it up. You know, what do we do? If Jesus, you're making this impossible. I got an email from a member of the church who apparently knew what I was going to preach about this morning. Here's what part of it said. I have been attempting to learn more about God's word to calm my fears and reassure myself that I will indeed be welcome into God's kingdom when the time comes. Well, that is not happening. Instead, I am feeling that there is no chance of that happening. I feel further from God every time I try to understand. I know that I am a perfectionist, and I know all my faults, shortcomings, downfalls, and what a letdown I have been to God, who created me in his perfect image. Okay, there's lots of problems with this paragraph, right? Can anybody help me? What's the first problem?
Read it again.
The whole paragraph?
No.
Okay. I have been attempting to learn more about God's word to calm my fears and reassure myself that I will indeed be welcome into God's kingdom when the time comes. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem with this whole letter. People do what they do because they're looking for somehow to be okay instead of accepting the fact that God loves you just exactly the way you are. I don't know whether it's we've listened to too many evangelical sermons where they told us how crappy we were and how we were going to burn in hell, etc., etc., but I would remind you of the story of the prodigal son.
He's more involved in the reward than doing the work.
Amen. I would remind you of the story of the prodigal son. What happened? When the son decided, and by the way, I had to draw this out the other day for some folks. You know, it says in that story that the kid went off to a different land or whatever to do his thing. And then, you know, he's doing his thing and then he gets caught and then he decides to go home. Right? What's the next verse in that story say?
Yet, but he was far away.
While he was yet a long ways off. Okay, so here, let me put this in perspective for you, especially you youngsters. Do you know where Vidalia, Georgia is? For the sake of this story, that's where that kid's father was, Vidalia, Georgia. For the sake of this story, he's here in Atlanta, standing on the connector, 75 and 85, getting ready to head back to Vidalia. And yet, while he's a long ways off, the father sees him and runs to him. All this kid did was decide he wanted a relationship with God. And God came and found him. Do not let anybody ever tell you that God will not look for you. And by the way, you're welcome here as you are. But leave here understanding that God will look for you. So when you talk about the fact that you need assurance, remember the prodigal son. If I had more faith, my feet would be healed. If I had more faith, I could forgive my sister. If I had more faith, I would not think mean or critical or harsh thoughts of others. If I had more faith, I would not gossip, criticize, or scold. If I had more faith, I would not have the same type, I would have the same type of wisdom and insight that can be seen. And if we had more faith, we would quit trying to figure out who it was in the church that wrote this letter. Hence the title of the sermon today, Ouch. Because this story is about relationship. It is about what it is that is standing in your way. Whatever is standing in your way of your relationship with God, set it off to the side and get to work. If you can't forgive, find a way to do it. Who has a chance? Those that think they can pull it off by themselves have no chance. And we have a world filled with folks that prove that every day. Those are the people that are bombing countries. Those are the people that are letting the people starve. Those are the people that won't lift a finger to be creative in stopping unemployment. It is those people who argue that it is perfectly all right for the state of Georgia to put somebody to death, while at the same time arguing that a woman isn't entitled to every medical procedure that she can possibly have. This is an ouch. But it doesn't have anything to do with money. It has everything to do with let go of the crap that's been shoveled onto your front lawn and get on with your life. Because no matter where you are, no matter what challenge you have, no matter how hard it is, God will come find you. God bless you.